Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 121 of the Attractions Podcast, sponsored by Destinations with Character Travel. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Seth.
And we're here to talk to you about the latest and greatest in theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. And in the pre-show, we were just talking about how COVID has started affecting our lives again. I mean, for me, it was like I mean, we went home. And we did the tests, we wore masks, all of our family was able to get boosted because Austin was just like a hole of of no, because you can't do walk-ins anywhere. You have to have an appointment, and appointments were so scarce we couldn't get anything before we went out of town. So we just tried to take what precautions we could. And then we got back and it was like Austin is in stage 5 again. And I've had friends get breakthrough cases, and and it's just like, I don't want to go outside anymore.
Yeah, I can definitely empathize. Here in Orlando, you know, we took a cruise right at the beginning of December. And at the time, I felt really confident about booking it and taking it. And we didn't have any issues with the cruise. But almost as soon as we got back, Omicron started surging. We were able to slide in and get ourselves booster vaccinations. Thank you to the Orlando Science Center for organizing that. But yeah, we kind of just sort of hunkered down. We actually, you know, we had been thinking of, because cruises were so amazingly cheap, of jumping on another one and then seeing so many getting canceled or turned away from ports. I'm glad we chose not to do that. And yeah, you know, usually we go to some holiday parties, and we didn't go out to anyone else's house this year. We just stayed home. We had two or three people over in our backyard to have a little New Year's Eve socially distanced toast. And, you know, it was kind of nice. We caught up on a lot of streaming things, caught up on a lot of sleep, played with the cats. But, you know, it was... We kind of thought that, you know, this year wouldn't be like last year, that we'd be, you know, back to a more public Christmas celebration, and instead hunkered down yet again.
Yeah. So. I think the most interesting thing I did for New Year's was check on my friend's cats while she was out of town. I didn't see them, but I knew that they were there.
So. You sensed their presence.
If that is the most cat-ism thing about it. And then I also caught up on some streaming. I've started Witcher season 2. I'm going to watch Encanto tonight.
Oh, enjoy.
And
but just remember, we don't talk about Bruno.
Everyone is saying this, and I don't know anything about it. So it's just a reference that goes completely over my head. And then I managed to finish all of the Uncharted movies over break as well, or Uncharted games.
Games. Sorry. Oh, okay. Yes. So you're getting all excited for the Uncharted film.
We'll see.
I saw, you know, I was in a movie theater and what did we see? We saw Spider-Man No Way Home. Which was first movie I'd seen in a theater with an audience in a little while. I'd seen movies in theaters with no audiences, but that was the first one that anyone else was actually in the theater with me. And it was fun, especially, you know, hearing people cheer when Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire showed up. Spoiler alert, sorry.
I love how rowdy people got for that. Like, I think in my audience, the biggest audience pop was for Matt Murdock.
Yes. I was, you know, I had a friend who had seen it before me, and he flat out lied to me and said Matt Murdock wasn't in it. It's like, thank you for lying. So it was still a surprise.
Yeah, it was so good. But I mean, I thought the fourth game was like what I wish all the other three games were like. Mm-hmm. But it's very like, if you've played Last of Us 1 and 2, it's very true to like that kind of Naughty Dog narrative experience. Mm-hmm. I don't know how the movie will do. I mean, it looks fine.
So yeah, I'm in the movie theater and the trailer starts, and you know, oh, Tom Holland, oh, it's Marky Mark, and then at the end, they say it's Uncharted, and you just kind of heard this kind of gasp from the audience.
Stop.
Because none of them had any, like, it doesn't look, it doesn't sound, it doesn't feel anything like any of the games. I guess it's a prequel, maybe, because it's like baby Nathan Drake. So like, if anything, I feel like Marky Mark should have been playing that character. And maybe Tom Holland could have been his sidekick, who's a new character, but it, I don't know. It looks interesting. Let's put it
so,
that way.
For to my understanding, this film is an origin story for Nathan uh-huh. Drake, but it is not the origin story from the games. It's a totally new,
right.
separate thing.
So basically, they just took the name of the franchise and the name of the character and ignore everything else, because we know that video game movies that do that have always been very successful.
Yeah, and
House of the Dead.
I talk about video game movies all the time because, I mean, it's no secret that I've been following the production of Last of Us for the entire time. But he suggested wishing that Bruce Campbell had been cast as Sully instead of Marky Mark. And now, like, I can't think of anything else because he would have been perfect.
Yeah, I mean, and I always... back in the day, I was a fan of Nathan Fillion getting the role of
He did
Nathan
that
Drake.
Fan film that was
yes,
really
yes.
good.
He can untuck a shirt like nobody's business. Sorry, half tuck.
Yeah,
half tuck a shirt.
Fashion. But we'll see. I mean, I'll go see it. I like Tom Holland. I thought he did really well in Spider-Man. They gave him some stuff to chew on in the most recent film, which was good.
Yeah.
It was good. That was the last movie I saw in theaters, too.
So, we're, I don't know, 10 minutes into the show. Maybe we should talk about some theme parks.
Yeah, we should. All right.
Is that what we're here for?
Yeah, I think so. Last I checked. It's been a while. We had to catch up.
I know. We don't,
All right.
Got to get back in gear.
The news. First up, if you are local to SeaWorld San Antonio, like me, I guess. I mean, is 3 hours local?
It's close enough.
SeaWorld San Antonio is once again offering free admission all year long to Texas preschool children and teachers.
Yeah, this is kind of an amazing perk. It's not just a one-time admission. It's basically like an annual pass that you can get. I believe, for if you get a kid in preschool or if you're a certified teacher, you can prove your employment. And the only trick is for teachers, you got to order those by February 28th. And some of the other SeaWorld parks have had similar deals. I know SeaWorld Orlando right now is offering free teacher cards through August 31st. And they've also offered free cards for preschoolers at various times. Check out the website of your local SeaWorld to see what's on offer.
Yeah, I checked both SeaWorld Orlando and San Diego when I wrote this up this past week, and I could only find the teacher card for SeaWorld Orlando, and I couldn't find anything.
Yeah, these offers come and go, and they vary between the different parks. And you're going to make sure that you follow the link that we've got in our article so that you can register online. Don't just show up at the park expecting to pick one up. You've got to register in advance.
And you can only have until February 28th to register. And at least for SeaWorld San Antonio, it at least based on their wording, it appears that this card, whichever the preschool or the teacher, lasts all year for 2022. Mm-hmm. But in Orlando, the teacher card is only good through August 31st. So there is an end date on that.
Also, keep in mind, these are intended for locals, not for tourists. So there are residency requirements. Make sure you have your driver's license or other proof of residency when ordering one of these.
Yeah. More SeaWorld news. Inside Look is back at all three SeaWorld parks in the U.S. where you can experience some behind-the-scenes animal care and learn from the experts themselves on how they take care of all of these creatures.
Yeah, I visited during this in the past, and basically they add a bunch of behind the scenes tours and interactive opportunities to learn more about the animal care. It's happening in Orlando, January 8th through 17th, but it's on the weekends only. It's also happening in San Antonio and San Diego on certain days. Check the website for those details. But it is really a great way to get kind of a more intimate look at the animal care facilities and techniques without having to pay for an extra cost behind the scenes tour.
And there are tons of little kiosks throughout the park and many different animal enclosures and exhibits, some of which you can go behind the enclosure and see stuff, which is crazy. I've never personally done one, though. They did have an orca encounter one at SeaWorld San Antonio where you could walk back behind the stadium. I don't know if that counted or not, but it was cool. So check it out if you're looking for something a bit more educational, something different to do when you're visiting SeaWorld. Check it out. And then over at Disneyland Park, as of tomorrow, when we're recording this, Sunday, January 9th, Star Tours will be celebrating its 35th anniversary.
There are some amazing retro videos online from the opening ceremonies of this, with Mickey and Minnie dressed in very 80s silver space suit costumes. R2-D2 and C-3PO showed up, and so did George Lucas. There's this amazing moment where they try to cut the ribbon with a lightsaber. It's very 80s. You gotta see it. But yeah, when Star Tours opened, that was such a big deal that they kept Disneyland open for 60 straight hours. And I can remember seeing footage of people waiting in a line that went all the way from Tomorrowland all the way down Main Street to the front of the park. I personally, I kind of miss some of the cheesiness of the old version of Star Tours. I really like the new version of Star Tours, the way they've added new segments over the years as new films have come out. But I'll be brutally honest. I love Rise of the Resistance, but if I was given a choice between standing in line for over an hour to ride Millennium Falcon or riding Star Tours, I'm picking Star Tours. I still think, as far as pure simulator rides go, it's still my fe second favorite of all time, behind Back to the Future. No, nothing will ever replace Back to the Future in my heart, but Star Tours still delivers 35 years later.
I can't get over the 60-hour party thing because I
Can you
never got
imagine?
to experience the 24-hour nights at Magic Kingdom.
Well, that's the thing. I did a couple of those 24-hour nights, and at the end of 24 hours, you just see, the park starting to look a little dingy because they haven't had time to do normal cleaning. The employees all look like they've been on a death march. Can you imagine doing that and then doing it again and then doing it another half? Like, 60 hours is a long time to keep a theme park up and running.
You would have to be like calling people in to like change shifts out and
No, no.
extending people forever. Oh my God. I can just think of
Yeah.
And this line, I mean, all of these film photos were shared by Disney Parks blog, but even just like looking at the crowds in here, how far back they stretch, in addition to how long this line is, how tightly packed everyone is. Look at those stanchions. That's just rope.
And the fact that back then people would stand in a 60-hour line and apparently not murder each other says something about society, I guess. Maybe people were a lot more paid. And they didn't have phones. That's the amazing thing. They were standing in that line and they were talking to each other. They weren't looking down at a phone. Can you imagine?
No. I can't. I can't. I cannot picture people standing in line without phones and being nice. And also, there's like some adequate spacing in there too. Everyone's not standing on top of each other. also, isn't this where the Space Mountain thing comes from, right? This opening or something?
Oh, maybe. I don't know about that one.
I'll have to look up the opening ceremony video and watch it. Adam the Woo fans will know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
But yeah, Star Tours is turning 35 at Disneyland, and it's all because of the success of the attraction at Disneyland that this ride even made it to Hollywood Studios in Florida, followed by Disneyland Paris and Tokyo Disneyland, where it continues to entertain today.
Now, here's a question. Do you have a favorite sequence in of all the, you know, there's all the different random sequences you can get in Star Tours. Do you have a favorite one?
I really like the Yoda transmission sequence.
Mm.
And gosh, now I'm blanking. I feel like for the longest time, all I ever saw was the sequel trilogy sequences.
Right. For a while they were locked on showing you only the new stuff. Now it's back to random. But it's interesting. For a while they would mix old sequences and new sequences. Now you either get all stuff from the prequels and original films, or you get stuff from the sequels, but they don't mix those together anymore.
It's probably for the best.
Yeah, it got a little confusing.
A little hairy.
My personal favorites are the Hoth segment. One, because it's completely out of canon, and George Lucas, like, they George Lucas was the one that they made them put in there, because they weren't going to have a Hoth sequence, and then George Lucas was like, you have to have Hoth. I don't care if it's not canon. It's just do it. So great. Yay, George. I love that one because of the little reference to Mission Space, where C-3PO tells you, don't move a muscle. And it's like, no, do move a muscle. Lean back, please. I love that. I got to admit, my favorite is when you go to Naboo because you splash into the water and you almost murder Jar Jar Binks by running him over. That's my favorite bit.
I will say, when I got to ride this for the first time, I was an adult, and even still, it was so magical to be that close to an animatronic C-3PO.
Oh my God.
And when that screen drops down, it's just like, oh my God, he's really right there.
The queue was one of the first queues that really, like, told the story and was an environment. The animatronic C-3PO is still, it looks perfect because, a robot is the perfect thing to play a robot.
Yep.
I miss the old version with Rex, the voiced by Pee Wee Herman, and the trench run. I really like the new segments. I like the variety, and how there's all sorts of little hidden details to look for. So yay, Star Tours almost makes me want to get a pass to head over to, Disney's Hollywood Studios. but it's still real busy right over there. I'll hold off another couple weeks.
I can imagine. Well, if you want, in Book of Boba Fett, I can't remember if it's episode one or two, there's a Rex droid.
He's seen briefly in both of them, in the cantina that is run by Jennifer Beals' character.
Yeah.
You see him I don't know if it's just the same model of robot, or if it's actually supposed to be the Rex from Star Tours. He's got similar body shape, but there are some little details in the decoration that are different. So we'll have to see if his official biography, if it's really him.
Yes, and he's a Sabacc dealer.
Yes. Did you also catch in the last episode? This is a spoiler alert for you folks.
Oh.
in the scene where Boba beats up the Swoop gang and saves the human couple from the, were they, Tredosians?
Yeah.
Did you notice who that was and where they were? That is the infamous Tashi Station, where Luke wanted to go to get his power converters. The couple is Cammy and Fixer, who are characters from a infamous deleted scene from the original Star Tours. That's a really, really deep cut. That is a serious obscure callback for the fans.
I expect nothing less from Jon Favreau. who wrote the entire season. Yeah, I expect nothing less. If you are looking to support Give Kids the World in 2022, why not scale a 32-story building in Orlando?
Why not?
Why not?
I mean, you could just give them your money directly and not ask for anything in return. That would be fine. But you can do what several people, not me, from Attractions have done over the years and participate in this event that they do periodically. It's back, the Over the Edge, the 32-story Hyatt Regency Orlando, massive, massive hotel. And you will be able to rappel scaling out the outside of it like Tom Cruise in a Mission Impossible movie.
Yes.
GoPro strapped to your head so you can record the whole thing, assuming you don't have a heart attack and die.
I'm sorry.
I do a lot of thrill things, and while this sounds fascinating, this is one that I am happy to watch other people participate in. The registration fee, if you want to rappel, is $50, but you've got to raise a minimum of $1,000 by February 10th. Basically, this is a fundraising for Give Kids the World Village, which does fantastic work for kids and families with severe illnesses who want to visit the parks. Gather some friends and family together, raise up some cash, and jump outside a window. Go for it.
And if you don't want to, you can always donate money. There are a good number of people already signed up in fundraising to do this. We usually have someone go out every year and participate, I believe.
Not it.
I think it was either last year or the year before. It was our reporter, Neve. I've never done it either. Usually one of the Daycation Kingdom folks would do it up until this past couple year or so. I would like to think like, yeah, I would do it, and then I would get up there and be like, oh my god, take me down. But more power to you. If you are brave enough to do this, you know, props. Over at Knott's Berry Farm on January 22nd, they will kick things off of their seasons of fun with their first seasonal event, Knott's Peanuts Celebration.
Yeah, I am so bummed because this runs from January 22nd through March 6th, and I am heading out to Disneyland on March 8th.
No.
So I am just going to miss this. But if you are a fan of Charles Schulz, Snoopy, and the Peanuts characters, this looks like one not to miss. Lots of live entertainment, lots of interactive events, a brand new musical show on the Calico Mine stage. Ghost Town is going to be transformed with some Peanuts Cowboy Jamboree events. In the Birdcage Theater, they are doing a drawing class that sounds a lot like the Animation Academy that they do over at Disney, except with learning how to draw Peanuts characters. And the thing that I am most interested in and sad that I'm going to miss is they are doing an exhibit in the Ghost Town's Town Hall of photos and archival material that inspired Charles Schulz to create the famous comic strip in the first place. They do Peanuts characters and Snoopy, have a Snoopy Kids area year-round. But this sounds like really taking it to the next level. Everything Peanuts being celebrated throughout the park.
Knott's is calling this their expanded Peanuts celebration.
Yeah, this really is definitely the most they've ever had for this event.
And I think it might be the longest it's ever run as well. Love to see these things happening. And Knott's has really, like, over the past few years, really, since the pandemic kind of happened, Knott's has been using this as an opportunity to really kick things up a notch for their park. And I love to see it. It can't always be Disney and Universal all the time.
Yeah, you know, if you are taking a Disneyland vacation, really consider, it's a short drive. It's 20-something minutes from Disneyland. ticket prices, a day ticket to the park is a lot cheaper than a day ticket to Disneyland. It makes a great break. It's a good alternative to Disney. So I really suggest if you've never been, if you're out there for a vacation, check it out.
The last time I was out there, we had to drive past Knott's on the interstate to get to our hotel, and I just looked out the window longingly because I wasn't going to have enough time to go, and I was just so sad. I was like, oh, someday.
Great lineup of roller coasters, but also for me the reason to go is the live entertainment, the atmosphere. In a lot of ways, Knott's is still a lot like Disneyland of 20 or 25 years ago, in terms of its feeling.
All right. Next up, Standby is coming to Remy's Ratatouille Adventure Virtual Queue. It's
Every freaking time I write an article or a book about virtual line and how to use virtual line, and then they change something again. So, yes, you no longer have to wake up at 7 a.m. and try to get yourself a virtual line spot for Ratatouille ride in Epcot, which is great news. It also probably means that the individual lightning lanes might get snapped up even faster. Who knows? What's concerning me about this is even with the virtual line in effect at Remy's, you would get a return time and you would show up and you would still stand for 45 minutes in a queue, even with the virtual line. So what I'm wondering is the entire Ratatouille standby queue, including the permanent exterior queue, can really only hold between 45 minutes and an hour worth of people. So now that they've removed the virtual queue requirement, what are they gonna do when where are they gonna put these people? I don't know. I
Lucy
don't know
clearly
where they're all
familiar.
gonna go unless there is secret space out behind that pavilion where they can, that I just think that they did not have adequate space physically built in to hold all the people that they're going to need to without spilling into some ugly backstage areas. The only good thing I can see about this, and they have not made any sort of official announcement about this, so who knows, but maybe this means that single rider could come back. The attraction was built with single rider, the queue is there, but they've never used it. I have a sneaking suspicion that single rider will not come back as long as they're selling individual lightning lane, because why would someone buy a lightning lane if they could just hop in the single rider line? But single rider line has been used for this exact same attraction in Disneyland Paris, and it worked really well there. I got to ride multiple times when I was there in Paris using single rider, and it would be lovely for them to bring that back here in Orlando.
And then once this ends, so January 10th is the day that virtual queue will no longer be in effect at Ratatouille. And at that point, there will be no Disney attractions at Walt Disney World with virtual queue in place.
For now,
For
but
now.
Guardians of the Galaxy is right around the corner, relatively speaking, and I would be shocked if they did not use it for that because they are going to be overwhelmed with demand for that
Oh
when it
my
does
God.
open.
I really hope that they have enough queue.
Well,
We haven't seen anything.
pretty much the entire build, the original Universe of Energy queue, or Universe of Energy building, where all the dinosaurs and all of that big show scenes were. Pretty much all of that is queue now. Queue and boarding. And all most of the actual attraction all takes place in the gravity building that they built outside of there. So hopefully they will have plenty of space for queue.
We still don't have a set opening date, just the window of summer 2022. Though it will come faster than you think. So just hang tight.
Hoping for early summer, hoping.
Yeah, I hope so too. A sad one to report, though not super surprising considering how things are in the world right now. Hong Kong Disneyland has announced its fourth temporary closure as a result of COVID-19.
This definitely gives Hong Kong Disneyland the lead in the race for who can close and reopen the most times of all the Disney parks.
Paris had it for a while.
No, I think this now puts Hong Kong in the lead. The Hong Kong government has been extremely cautious, any sign of COVID outbreak, and they just slam shut the gates. So if you had a trip to Hong Kong Disneyland planned from January 7th through the 20th, you should start rescheduling now.
The park has been quote in close contact with the relevant government departments and will continue to implement health and safety measures like the guidelines that they already have in place for guests and cast members. But I mean, as of right now, this closed 2 days prior to us recording this podcast.
And keep in mind, this is in addition, it's the park has been closed every Tuesday and Thursday for extra sanitation and staffing reasons, I believe. It was already going to be closed on January 6th. Now through the 20th, and keep an eye on their official information because it could easily be extended even further than that. Who knows?
But for us in the US, I wouldn't worry too much about the parks closing. They probably won't.
Well, California, who knows?
Yeah, California, who
California has
knows?
been much, much more cautious. Florida, we don't close anything for anything. Unless it's a hurricane. Occasionally we'll close things for a hurricane, but we with our current administration, our current governor, do not look for any the government to come in and shut anything down, because that ain't happening.
And then our last bit of news before the main attraction, Seth got to do his.
Oh boy.
And I've been so excited to talk to you about it since I watched the videos. So if you are a visitor to Orlando or you're a local, you certainly know what Icon Park is, or you've seen it because of the giant wheel. And now they have two other giants to add to their roster, the Orlando Slingshot and Orlando Free Fall.
Yes, these are not just big rides. These are the biggest rides of their kind on the entire planet right now. They are now calling Icon Park the Land of the Giants, because you already had the wheel, one of the largest observation wheels in the world, located here. Then they built the Star Flyer, which was the world's tallest swing ride. I still have not done that one, but the big debut late in December was the opening of the world's tallest freestanding drop tower and the world's tallest slingshot ride. Now I'm gonna be brutally honest. I like thrill rides that are themed thrill rides. I like rides that have some physical thrills, but are primarily about story. I generally don't do things that are solely designed to give you a heart attack. But the other day, I'm over at Universal. I had just gotten off of the VelociCoaster. I was all full of adrenaline and pumped up, and my phone dings with our editor Matt, asking if anyone is available to ride the slingshot and the drop tower. And I say, sure, because I'm all pumped up. And maybe about 3 minutes after I say, sure, I'm thinking to myself, wait, what have I gotten myself into?
You were very immediate. Yes, I will do it.
I normally, especially the slingshot is one that I've seen they've got one on the Magical Midway and iDrive. They'd had one in Kissimmee for years, and I've always looked at and nope. But I was pumped up. I had a little adrenaline going, and I said yes. I am glad I carried through and did it. They gave me a certificate to come back and do it again, and I'm not sure if I'm going to be using that quite so quickly, because it did take me a little time to recover. I will tell you, I thought that the slingshot was going to be the scarier of the two. I have done many drop towers before, starting with the old free fall at Six Flags Great Adventure in the 80s, Tower of Terror and you know, a million times. Even Falcon's Fury, that was the biggest drop tower I had ever done before, over at Busch Gardens. This new one is almost twice the height of Falcon's Fury.
Oh
We're
my
talking
God.
430 feet in the air. And this one tips you forward also, like the Falcon's Fury one does. It's an amazing view. Going up, you can see, you end up at the top being even taller than the observation wheel, taller than the eye. You can see all the way to the coast. You can see Disney, see all of Universal and downtown. You get an amazing view, and then they tip you forward and you look straight down at the ground. And I will tell you, I've done plenty of elevator rides and drop towers before. And every single one, you get that initial drop, that initial free fall, and then you feel the brakes kick in. Well, on this one, you feel that initial drop, and then you keep accelerating,
Oh
and you keep
God.
accelerating, and you keep accelerating, and you are way past the point where your brain is saying, the brakes better start kicking in now before the brakes start kicking in. And when they do, it's not rough. They use a magnetic braking system, which is really ingenious. It's not electromagnetic, it's just pure old-fashioned magnets. So even if, you know, lightning was to strike as you are dropping, power goes out, you'll still come to a stop because of the magnets. But when they grab a hold of you, it feels like you are about to kiss the earth
Oh
before they
my
kick
God.
in. It really, you know, there's a moment in every thrill ride where you feel exhilarated, you feel the intensity, but you still feel like you're in control. And then this reaches that point where your brain really feels like, oh, wait, I am not safe. I am out of control. Something has gone wrong. But it hasn't. It's supposed to make you feel that way. But I did that ride twice. And the second time around, I was able to enjoy the view a lot more on the way up. I was able to appreciate the scenery. But that drop didn't get any easier the second time around. We hopped over to the slingshot, which I thought would be a lot scarier. And the initial launch, blasting you up into the air up to 100, 450 feet at 100 miles an hour, that is an intense launch. That makes the launch in Mission Space that look like a playground swing. But actually, once you get over that first big launch and that first flip, it was almost gentle. It was almost like being on a giant's yo-yo, gently up and down in the air. And it didn't, you know, it didn't snap you around, it didn't hurt your neck. It was almost like floating. You know, we're kind of remarking on the video how it's kind of pleasant. But just getting up the nerve to get on that slingshot, those moments, that second or two before we kick in, that was one of the most frightening experiences I've had. I'm really glad I conquered these. It's not something, you know, I could ride the VelociCoaster every day for the rest of my life. These are bucket list, once in a lifetime, you know, once every few years kind of rides. But, you know, like I say in the video, if you are looking for an e-ticket that's going to take the thrills up to the next level, you know, you want something that's going to make Tower of Terror look like a little kiddie ride, this is the one. This is the one. You're going to get your money's worth.
I couldn't. Yeah, I mean, you've already talked me out of doing the drop tower, I think, with your description.
I just, you know, I thought the second time I would be able to handle it better than the first, but no, I just, it was all I could do not to say really, really bad words on the video. It took a
I
lot of
mean,
work.
if longtime viewers will know, that didn't stop Banks on Falcon's Fury,
Yes.
which is still today, I think, one of my favorite videos on the attractions channel, just because it's so funny.
Yeah.
I could
And it's kind of
never.
interesting. Go and watch one of the Falcon's Fury videos, and then now go and watch this drop tower video and notice how much longer the free fall is. Like, you know, 1 second feels like forever when you're at 0G. And I just felt like we're going and we're still going and we're still going. It,
No
it's it's
way.
something else.
Now you need to ride the slingshot, but when you go up, tuck your legs in so you spin
Oh
more.
yeah, that, you know, I watched a bunch of the other videos and they were like, oh yeah, kick kick, use your legs, kick out, and you can get it. I don't need it to flip any more than it did. We tumbled over a couple times, and that was plenty for me.
Are
That
you
was
ready to
enough.
hurl?
Not there, but it was a good thing that I didn't eat any of the donuts they offered beforehand. I
Oh,
saved the donuts for later.
see, they offered you donuts
Oh,
beforehand. They were practically goading you to vomit.
yeah. Krispy Kreme all over the
Oh
place.
my
It's just no. No.
God. The
Not
Krispy Kreme, though, that's hard to resist. But that is everything for news in the queue. And before we get to this week's main attraction, let's have a quick word from our sponsor.
Here at Destinations with Character Travel, we offer the best experience with your travels. Need to visit the thrilling Disneyland Resort, Walt Disney World? Maybe lounge about on a Disney cruise or any other major cruise line? No problem. So if you're looking for a stress and hassle-free vacation, visit us at www.destinationswithcharacter.com. Contact us today and let us plan a magical vacation for you and your family.
It's time for the main attraction!
And this week's main attraction is, of course, that we finally
Are you
have a
sure?
date. Finally have a date for Icebreaker opening at SeaWorld Orlando.
It's been a long time coming.
Yes, it has.
If you had told me back in 2019 that we would not be riding this coaster until February of 2022, I would have looked at you like you're crazy. But here we are. The finish line is finally here for SeaWorld's big new Arctic-themed family coaster. Now, if you just listen to me talking about the slingshot and the drop tower, and you're like, no, this might be more your speed, because even though this touting the steepest beyond vertical drop in Orlando, this is actually kind of a tween coaster. This is not a kiddie coaster, but it's not the VelociCoaster either. It's sort of intended for in between so that a wide range of people can enjoy it. It does have launches. It's got a spike. It's got backwards and forwards with a shuttle switch track, some really innovative elements. But it's not too fast, it's not too steep, it's not too scary. So it's really designed to be accessible to a wide range of folks, unlike those two thrill rides that we just talked about.
And this is also the first of what will be a long train of SeaWorld Park's roller coaster openings, at least this first quarter of the year. And it will open on February 18th, with previews happening between January 30th and February 15th for pass members and Fun Card holders.
Yeah, it all depends on which level of card you have. If you're a Platinum Pass member, you can get in there as early as January 30th. And then Platinum Pass members can go anytime during the preview period. Basically, they keep adding every few days another level. So if you're a Gold Pass, February 1st, if you're a Silver Pass, starting February 7th, and even people who have those fun cards, which are basically an annual pass for the price of a one-day ticket, you're going to have the 14th and 15th to get a jump on everyone else riding it. I also believe that there was a thing where if you visited the park a certain number of times as an annual pass holder last year, there was a bonus invitation. So you should have gotten some information about that directly if you participated in that program.
Yeah. And if you're a Platinum Pass member for SeaWorld Orlando, you can start visiting January 30th and keep going straight up until the ride opens on the 18th.
Yeah, and this will obviously once it's open to the general public, the lines will probably be a little longer. So this is a great opportunity to get some rides in before the lines build.
Yeah, I mean, you could be like Seth of the VelociCoaster and ride it, what was it,
Oh,
12 times in one day?
yeah, I don't recommend that. That probably would not be the best choice.
Mr. Thrill Seeker. But this is great. I mean, it's no secret that this ride has been finished for quite some time, and we've just been kind of waiting on an opening date. And followed by this, I mean, Iron Gwazi is just around the corner. Pantheon at Williamsburg. Mm-hmm. And then I think there was another one. I can't remember.
Yeah, the SeaWorld Busch Gardens parks Emperor. Have a lot of you know, programs, a lot of projects that have all been kind of pent up, waiting. Some of it's almost been comical how long they've been complete or almost complete. But, you know, lawsuits with the manufacturers all got settled. everything's finally moving forward. So, yes, Brian reminding us in the comments that March 2022 is the date for Emperor. I believe that's out west.
Yes, in San Diego.
Yep. So, yay. More reasons to get your thrill on at the SeaWorld parks coming up real soon.
Yes. I mean, fingers crossed that 2022 is going to be a good year.
Yep.
At least there's lots of stuff opening. and that is everything I had to share with you this week. But we have a ton of listener thank yous that Fantastic. Came in from when we recorded our last in-person episode up until now. So I am going to read them off for you. And if you don't know, this is where we thank our club and VIP subscribers the week after they join us, or in this case, a couple of weeks. And they get a shout out here on the podcast from us. So this week we thank Heather York, Duncan Lee, Alexander Boyd, Luke Sienkowski, Earl Shuckman, Allison Norrington, Dwight Curry, Michael Hurley, and Kyler Kurznick. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Crowd noise.
And if you are interested, you can pick up our winter 2021-2022 issue now at attractionsmagazine.com/store. Or if you feel even more like you want to spend some of that Christmas money you got, you can pick up a subscription. There are 4 different subscription types that you can choose from, and all to fit your various tastes and budgets.
And this is when I come in to give yet another thanks to our sponsor, Destinations with Character Travel. Thank you for sponsoring us. Please check them out. And also, please head on over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Please give us a 5-star rating and leave us a review. Tell us what you think about the show. Finally, you can follow us in between shows on the interwebs. You can find me and my books at theunofficialguides.com or on Twitter at @theUGSeries and at @theunofficialguides on Instagram and Facebook. Brittany, where can they find you?
You can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE. Yes, it's spelled funny on Twitter and Instagram, but also every day at attractionsmagazine.com, at attractions on Twitter, at attractionsmagazine on Instagram, youtube.com/attractionsmagazine, and TikTok, on TikTok at attractions. But that one is not me. That one is our media manager, Theron, who is doing an incredible job over there, so go give it a follow.
I'm too old to TikTok. They won't even let me sign up. They're just like, nope, you're Gen Xer, we don't allow you here.
I swear, I've like, TikTok has been a major blind spot for me and all of the social media platforms, but 2022 is the year that I actually learn how it works.
I can't dance, so I'm really, there's no point in me being on the TikTok.
Yeah, it's not always dancing. There's like cooking videos and videos of people's pets, travel stuff. You never know. But until next week, I hope you guys stay safe, try something new, and most importantly, have fun. And we will see you next time.
Bye.